Hey everybody, welcome to TanCast 42. That's right, this episode is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Suck on that, all you non-geeks.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
TanCast.
Welcome to TanCast.
Noah seems to be talking backwards today. Welcome to TanCast.
Oh, really? I thought it was more like, hey, so welcome to TanCast. How are you doing? Yeah, we're all naked. And
like he had to check his notes like he's fucking Larry King. So welcome to...
Here, we're sitting here with Tim Bab. You like my suspenders?
What show am I hosting this week? Where are my notes?
Yeah.
What podcast is this? I'm so in demand.
That guy is old, and his interviews are boring.
Yeah, I'm not a big Seinfeld fan, but watching Jerry Seinfeld light up Larry King was one of the joys in my life.
What do you do?
I do not recall that.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, Larry King, didn't know what circumstances Seinfeld went off the air. He said something like, canceled. Jerry was like, no, we went out on top. Most watched episode of television ever, or something like that.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, now I vaguely do as well.
Yeah, I started lighting him up like, do you, look up anything? Do you do any research before you jump into these things? Just like, he wouldn't drop it. It was nice.
I'm about to watch it right now.
Well, don't do that.
Do it!
We gotta do this thing! We gotta save the part where we all just run out of steam and start looking at things on the internet together for the end! That's how we end!
I'm Tim. I'm the T in TanCast.
I'm Andy. I'm the A in TanCast.
He kind of sounds amused, but kind of sounds irritated at the same time.
That's Noah. He's the knucklehead in TanCast, but he spells it with an N, not a K, because he's that fucking stupid.
Whoa!
Oh, I don't know where that came from. I think I've been holding in all the rage while my wife's parents were in town.
Easy now.
Oh, it's so nice to let it all out. It's like a pet. I just get to carry it around on a little leash. If my rage were a pet, it would be the most angry chihuahua ever.
Wow. Why a chihuahua?
Because it's tiny and I can manage it.
Just like your peen.
But sometimes it's adorable. Sometimes my rage does cute things.
Your rage does nothing cute.
So this week we are doing a salute because I read on their message boards that the Mean Dog Top 5 podcast is unofficially announcing that they are winding down. They've got a few episodes left. And seeing as they haven't posted any since early December, who knows when these episodes will happen?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
That is the most non-committal cancellation ever. We have unofficially announced that we are winding down on a message board.
Well, and then they said they've got a few episodes left that they haven't released yet, and they're going to get together hopefully soon to record the final one.
To which
another member of their group said, so hopefully that'll be out by 2011.
So they've recorded these episodes?
Yeah,
what are they waiting for?
I have no idea.
What's
going on, Mean Dog? You just sit on them?
Maybe they make irrelevant comments and they need to wait for them to become relevant again. Like a Seinfeld joke, and then they wait for Seinfeld to do something else notable.
So they can wait 20 years and they'll come back in style?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I've been doing jokes about Aquanet bangs. They're finally back in.
Oh, Lord protect us. That'll be the certain sign of the apocalypse right there. You start seeing those really high, flycatcher bangs on chicks. Pick a god and get on his side, because it's all coming down.
If you caught that, Noah is fascinated.
Actually, I had nothing to do with what Eddie was saying. I just woke up, so I'm still kind of groggy.
Yes, apparently telling Noah that we're going to be recording at 6 o'clock my time means 6 o'clock his time.
Yeah, Andy says so many words, I can't pay attention to them all.
I think it's that Noah has a hard time telling the difference between himself and other people sometimes.
Yes, I all think you're me.
You read my time and you thought, wait, did I write that? My time?
Well, None of this ever happens on Mean Dog. Actually, that's true. They piss on each other quite a bit.
Hey, it says mean right in the title there, and I don't listen to it, so I just assume that we're supposed to be exceptionally cruel.
They're not really douchey to each other, but they'll be kind of mean to each other sometimes.
Okay.
The one about if you could replace any actor in a movie, they like, it seems like one of them is about to walk out. Like, that's how fierce it gets. Oh, it's good. It's good. I listen to that one a lot, actually. It's very amusing.
I don't think we've ever been quite that bad to each other. We've had the fuck you guys moments, but...
It's because, you know, it's like one guy's just getting it from all sides, and there's four of them, so it's like one guy getting it from three other guys. He's like, you know what? I'm done.
I'm out of here.
Oh, so he's the Andy.
Our topic, what we're going to do for our top five is top five movies that we were really excited to see or had a really good experience seeing in the theater, or memorable experience seeing in the theater that we remember.
Because, as we've pointed out before the show started, doing a top five of movies we don't remember would be ridiculous.
Pretty sure my mom took me to see some movie in the 70s, but I don't remember.
Yeah, pretty sure I saw E.T. as a kid, but I can't recall how it was. Top five.
I was excited to see it, though.
But before we do that, as they do on Mean Dog, Noah?
Mean Dog movie review?
You're not going to say Tancast because we're Tancast?
Oh, Tancast movie review? All
right.
Tancast movie review.
That's good. I was going to say, I can fart a better intro than that. And in fact, if you give me a minute... Oh, there we go. Wait. There we go.
Did you fart?
Oh, I did three times. You actually may pick it up on the audio.
You may pick it up when you find out that farting into your microphone is a horrible, horrible idea.
Well, that's why I didn't turn the microphone around, because I knew it had to go right next to my face again.
that's a lesson I learned the hard way, my friend. With ass in face.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason God put those on opposite sides of our body. But he couldn't give us the fucking T-Rex arms. God,
wouldn't that be bizarre if our anus is like in the middle of our head?
I guess we'd get used to it.
If you had stomach flu or diarrhea, it'd make it a lot easier.
That would.
Yeah. You'd only have to have one receptacle.
Although, then you'd get poo and vomit splash in your face, and that's no good.
Well, just get it, you know, go at a distance so it doesn't splash right back on you. Mm-hmm. But your digestive tract would go like in a circle. Like, it would go in a loop. It would go down and then back up. Unless all your digestive process was in your head and your brains were somehow where your gut should be. All right. It's a weird project of redesigning the human body. But in the meantime, anybody see any movies this week?
I saw a movie this week. I saw my first movie in theaters in, God, it's got to be close to a year. It's really close. It was like July of last year, so we're like at 9 months. I could have had another baby in this time. Well, with another woman, because my wife was pregnant at the time that I saw the other one. Anyways, I saw Watchmen.
Yay! And what did you think?
I quite enjoyed it.
Yay!
I would have to say that the gal that they have playing the Silk Spectre should stick to taking her clothes off in magazines for fapping, because in terms of her acting skills, she was... may as well not have been present.
Wow!
I felt a lot of the acting in that movie was kind of, I don't know, stiff, maybe?
I think if you go back and watch it, you'll find out that she's in a lot of those scenes that you think are stiff.
She was in one that I remember particularly, but maybe she was in all, I don't remember. But just in general, like, I mean, the comedian, he was good.
Yes.
But even, like, the Night Owl was kind of eh.
I thought the Night Owl pulled off a good transformation from being a uber geek, kind of let down middle-aged guy, to relieving his glory days.
Oh, and like recapturing some. They'll pass you by glory days.
And boy, did he relive them.
He relived them all over her face.
She was hot.
Yeah, when I was watching this film with my wife, I felt like I was watching the film with myself. You know, it's like sitting next to me. Whoa. Because every time Dr. Manhattan came on screen, I'd hear, penis. And whenever Silk Spectre's clothes came off, I'd hear, boobies, ass.
Nice.
It was actually pretty amusing. Luckily, there were like three other people in the entire theater.
Whoa.
Wow, Watchmen is not doing so well.
I'm sure it's doing fine. It was the middle of the day on a work day in the middle of the week.
I heard it dropped off, though, quite a bit.
Yeah, I did hear it. It took a big drop off. I just sent you guys a link for something we don't have to watch now, but it's the lady who played Silk Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a skit where her roommate is selling tours for nerds to watch her sleep. And it actually is the actress acting in this at one point.
That's kind of funny.
That's crazy.
And I would say she acts much better in this than she does in The Watchmen.
Oh.
I gotta say that Rorschach was, like, pitch perfect.
Yeah, the seen unseen guys thought he had too much of the Batman voice.
Oh, see, yeah, and I listen to his voice, I'm like, somebody should hook Christian Bale up with some being that guy lessons.
They were very amusing in their review of Watchmen, actually.
They did not care
for it. Noah's got me hooked on... No. Noah's got me hooked on them, though. I've been listening to them. I've been going through their archives.
Yeah, there's a lot of listening in there.
Yeah.
I did it once, so I was like, holy crap, that's a lot of episodes. And I had to manually go back and download a bunch because they didn't have them on iTunes anymore. But I did it.
Yeah, they're not on the feed, and you have to go through. But it does make it easier to just put them all in a playlist and just keep going.
I didn't download them all, though. I just kind of picked and choose, like, what movies I thought would be interesting. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to hear about that one. I want to hear about that one. But I didn't go and download all of them because I was like, ah, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah, me either. Well, their Indiana Jones one. That was one of the ones that I was like, oh, I definitely want to hear what they thought about that. Woo! Hate! They were filled with hate!
They're filled with a lot of hate.
And one of them said the most disagreeable thing I've ever heard. Shia LaBeouf was one of the only good things in that movie. I was like, oh, you're so unlucky that you live in Culver City. I will find you and cockslap you.
Oh, yeah, that deserves a mushroom print right on the side of the head. That deserves a mushroom print tattoo, where you just keep doing it until the mark never goes away.
And then it amused me because I remember that is when we started our podcast by trying to review Indiana Jones. And I was like,
so, Indiana Jones.
Look at how much of this podcast is actually about Indiana Jones. What are they thinking? I remember when we thought we might actually be some sort of like media review podcast. Nope.
No, unless by media you mean what our penises are doing at any given time. That is media
easy now,
we review.
Easy. We had a respite from the penises last week. Let's keep it that way.
Cockety cock. Cockety cock.
Oh, so on the English grading scale, what would you give The Watchmen, Andy?
On the, A, B, C, D, F. That,
right.
So I'm not sure if that's English, but that's American. It's American! I'd give it a B+.
All right.
There were a couple of things that I think were, and Alan Moore would shit himself to hear that any fan of his would think this, but there were a couple of things I thought were improvements over the way they did things in the book.
I agree. Oh, what'd you think of the ending now that we, well, this could be a spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it.
Well, I'll try to do the thing spoiler-free, but I actually thought that the ending was more believable than the one in the book. I thought it was also more true to what these characters were doing. Like it was less far-fetched, and it seemed like it was a better idea. Like it would actually be the solution that the characters were looking for, as opposed to the way the book handled it, which seemed like a house of cards ready to come down at any moment.
One thing I thought was weird about the ending is that, and I won't say the person's name, but one of the characters in the book that was like, okay, I'm going to go along with this, didn't seem to do that in the movie. And it seemed like he just did, but they didn't really explain it. Like, he still seemed upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that they should have, like, you know, said, hey, yeah, I'm going to go along with this. Because the way he left it, it seemed like, oh, is he just going to go, you know, not, you know, go tell everybody?
See, I didn't get that. I thought that it was pretty clear from the behavior that they showed afterward, exactly what he was going to do.
Him beating the shit out of the guy?
No.
His
behavior
in
the little coda at the end.
Yeah, at that point, it kind of like, all right, I guess so. But just initially, it's just like, so what's going to happen now?
Well, I kind of got the feeling that he hadn't quite decided. yet. But then later you see from what he's doing which way he's coming down.
And from... I don't know if I like the ending better, the new ending. Because the way it was set up, it seems like they would blame one specific place as opposed to, like, oh, this is all something we have to deal with. Like, it seemed like it could have gone that way.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, but it also seems like... Like, the if you go back through the whole film, the way that they set things up and the order that it happened in, it seems like it was set up to be... that blame could not be centered in any one group of people. That... God, this is... Dancing around the spoiler is getting pretty difficult. So you know what?
I was like, I hope people who have seen the movie are appreciating the great efforts we are going through.
And I hope, people
who haven't seen the movie are not fast-forwarding.
Well, I think the people who haven't seen the movie are just going to have to fast-forward. Because I'm going to get a little tiny bit more spoilery here. So here's your warning.
So we're done with the spoilers at 18 minutes, 25 seconds. Okay, I'll fill it in later.
All right. Okay, so it seemed like the way that they set up Manhattan's distance from the rest of humanity, that that kind of made him an okay scapegoat. Like, it wasn't that he was America's agent anymore, especially with the attacks on America.
Yeah, I thought of one way that they could explain it, but still, he was just such a big part of America for such a long time. You know, he was like America's guy.
Yeah, but his departure going to Mars was... like, really publicized. Like, everyone knew it.
Yeah,
and then,
but it's still...
And America
it could be,
got attacked.
It could be explained away, like, hey, you know, they just did this to cover... I mean, I get... Yeah, you know, I saw that, you know, I'm like, all right, well, they got attacked, so it's like, you know, why would they do that to themselves? And, you know, lose all those people just to give... You know, it's not like anyone got attacked more than anyone else, really.
Yeah.
But while I was still thinking, I'm like, oh, what if... Because he was America's guy for so long. I mean, I still think it would have been better if they kept the original... Not with, you know, the exact original way, but something otherworldly, as opposed to...
But angry god versus mutant squid monster.
Yeah, but he was angry god of America, as opposed to squid monster from outer space.
Yes, but he was angry god of America, who is now displeased with America. So, wrathful god, who is specifically pissed off at America.
I'm not saying I totally don't get it, I'm just saying... I don't know if I liked it better.
Okay.
I liked it better in the believability, and I can see Noah's point with the... I could see other countries be mistrustful. Like, well, maybe we need to stop America before they make another one of these. They did it once. They could do it again.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do it again?
Not
they obviously know how to do it.
Well, I got the impression it had more to do with the guy as opposed to just the circumstances.
Yeah, that it wasn't, like, being blown up. Magically
still,
let him put himself back together.
They could
newer,
take,
better,
do
stronger,
psychological
faster.
Tests and see who has the most likely ability to be able to pull themselves back together.
That's true.
And they've fucking got the lab. It's right there.
How would you? How would you do a psychological test for that? It happened
fucking
once.
People know things.
I mean, they could try. It's never stopped people from trying to do shit. Just because they don't know
exactly
how to do shit, there's like, well, let's throw shit at it. Let's throw some money at it. See what happens. Let's cut off a dog's head and see if we keep him alive. Will it work? I don't know.
Noah, what movie did you see?
I love you, man.
Here endeth the spoilers.
Nice.
Please continue.
I love you, man.
I love you too,
that's
man.
Nice.
What movie did you see?
And that's what I saw.
And how was it?
It wasn't as funny as I hoped it would be, but it was still pretty funny. And you know what it was like? It was like a straight love story. It's like if they took the love story, took the woman out, put in two straight guys, that's pretty much what it was like.
It was a bromantic comedy?
It was. Like, it had all the standard scenes that you would see in a love story. You know, like, they're meeting for the first time, the other one calls, the other person makes an idiot of themselves, leaves a message because they're so infatuated. But
that's
yeah,
awesome.
It was good. I liked it. You know, I like both the... I like Paul Rudd and... I can never remember his name. His son, Marshall. Something Marshall. I always remember it's part of the same name he has on How I Met Your Mother. But not the full name.
Is it Marshall?
Is it Walt Flanagan?
I thought it was the guy from Saving Sarah Marshall.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, but I think part of his name is actually Marshall.
His name is actually Marshall?
Or I could be totally wrong.
Watch as we look it up, or listen as we look it up. Jesus Christ, I can't spell.
Jason Segel.
Oh.
Close.
I was not even close. I don't know what I was
Doesn't even have an M in it.
Nope. Yeah, that guy. That's weird.
Was the Lou Ferrigno part good?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. He had a couple scenes.
Oh, good.
I don't know why you would fight Lou Ferrigno.
I wouldn't fight Lou Ferrigno.
That guy is scary. And he kind of sounds like, Andre the Giant.
And he wouldn't be able to hear you if you surrendered.
Yeah, wait, once he's got it. Your back to him.
He's not totally deaf, is he?
Andy? Yes, he is. Deal with it.
Who was that girl in that movie?
Which movie?
Oh,
That girl in that movie. Yes, Stephanie?
I love you, man. The movie I was just talking about. She was in The Office. Anyways, but yeah, it was a good movie. There were some funny parts. I like Paul Rudd a lot. I like Jason Segel. They're both very funny characters. Jason Segel's not an attractive fellow, though. Just look at me. He's like, he's that close to a unibrow. Go ahead, Tim.
I don't think attractive is the look he's going for. It's the one-liner I just was trying to get out three or four times.
I don't think, fuck it!
I quit!
Supposedly he's working on a new Muppets movie. Or he was at one time.
Ah, yes!
So yeah, I mean, it was above average romantic comedy that wasn't really romantic for the two main characters. John Favreau was in it, which was kind of random. I was like, okay.
Oh, yes.
Like, what's the purpose of him?
He's Favreau-ing it.
What would you give it on the American grading scale?
Maybe a B, B minus.
Okay.
All right.
According to Wikipedia, Lou Ferrigno at the age of 3 suffered an ear infection and permanently lost 80% of his hearing.
What? Comedy.
You know, you almost got me. So close, comedy, but then gold. I remembered I wasn't an idiot.
Oh, I only heard part of what you said. I only heard 20% of what you said, Andy.
Yes, but that's your fault. And now I'm going to burp in your ear at some point.
That's funny, I got burped too.
No, I'm going to wait until we see each other face to face, and then I'm going to burp in your ear.
I'm never going to see you again.
You're going to have a stinky my breath ear.
Classy. All right, so the movie I saw, so we can get into the countdown. This never happens on Mean Dog. We are discouraging our regular listeners forever checking it out. We're like, fuck it. They never get to it. Nope, that's just us. That's just the Tancast you know and love. Unfocused. Anyway, the movie I saw was Taken. I finally saw Taken with Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking awesome! Liam Neeson kicks ass!
He did kick some ass. And he took some names.
Whatever, not Rogue. What's her name? Phoenix. No, what was her name before Phoenix? In X-Men.
Jean Grey?
Yes. Her character sucked ass. She was such a raging cunt in the beginning.
The ex-wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
And never gave the, I'm sorry, I was such a cunt and all this is my fault, technically. They spring the whole going to Paris thing on him, and he's like, he's an overprotective guy because he's seen the world, obviously, from his job, and he knows that there's dangers out there. And, like, so they just spring it on him, and obviously he's like, wait, what? I thought we were gonna, and then the mom's just like, why you gotta be such a dick? Just sign it!
Well, alright, Tim, you leave out the part where he was an absentee father.
Yeah, which came in fucking handy towards the middle to the end of the movie, but which he also did not get any credit for at the end.
But that was apparent even before that. So it's not like they were just saying, you're a dick, all of a sudden. It's like, hey, you're just now trying to make up for all this time that you missed.
But he's been at it for a while. And being an absentee father is a lot better than being like an abusive father.
It's still not good.
He came home from the Persian Gulf in the middle of an operation because he didn't want to miss his kid's birthday. He's not a shitty absentee father. He's just a guy who's been busy.
He's been busy protecting our rights.
Well, but they didn't know what he was doing.
He was working for the government.
They didn't know that.
Fuck it. You didn't see him on TV during Katrina. He's doing some good shit. He's not one of the fuck-ups.
I'm just saying, they were calling him a dick out of total blue. He had, he had done something to kind of get to that place where he was.
I still think it was completely unfounded.
Really?
Just the level of dick of bitch of cuntitude with which was heaped on him by fucking Jean Grey.
But I think
I know she has a real name. I don't care. But
I think like she was... you've combined them and it's now bitch cuntitude.
I think she was pushed to that point. Like, hey, you're a dick because of all this other shit that you've done in the past. So it wasn't like, I don't think that particular moment that set her off.
Saved our country from rogue Nazis. A little bit of appreciation would be nice.
They didn't know that, Tim.
She knew.
She did not know.
She knew.
Anyways, what else did you think of the movie?
That it was awesome. That's all. Fucking Liam Neeson is fucking awesome.
I was, I think I told someone that I think it would be cool if they did like a prequel where they kind of showed stuff he'd done in the past. Which is being
I think
badass.
They should just do a series of movies called Liam Neeson Kicking People's Asses. Fuck, because there's, I don't know, it might be a spoiler, I don't want to ruin it, because I think Andy should see it, I think he would enjoy it.
Okie dokie.
But there's just one part where he's in a room full of people, and he's like, I don't know, he starts shit, like, right, like, he only has business necessarily with one of them. But all of them are, like, on his side, and he's just, like, surrounded by all of them. He's like, hey, I'm going to kill you now. I'm like, why would you say that now? And, you know, antics ensue.
Yeah, because you don't want it to be surprising for them.
You got to let them know it's coming.
Yep.
You know what? It still was quite surprising.
That's good one time. Reason why I really like the TV show Leverage.
Haven't seen it.
You should watch it. It's a good show. It's like... it's kind of like Ocean's 11 every week.
Ooh.
Except shitty.
Oh,
no, it does not like it?
I watched it. It just seemed very cheesy. Like, it kind of reminded me of that show that Bill Bellamy was on where they were, like, undercover for cops or something, and they had cars. It just seemed bad. And I did watch a full episode. I was just like, I'm done watching this.
Noah, what'd you think of Air Force One, the Harrison Ford movie?
I thought it was pretty good.
I rest my case.
Andy, you can go fuck yourself.
What was that?
I said, you can go fuck yourself. Did I tell did I say this on the air when I was listening to the Scene Unseen? No, I think I just told one of you this. That the Scene Unseen people, or maybe I even told Danelle. But regardless, I'm going to finish the sentence.
We all look the same.
Hey, Tim, why don't you tell us who else you might have told?
I might have told this random homeless guy on the corner.
Or Stephanie.
Anyway, I was listening to the Scene Unseen podcast, and they were just ripping Harrison Ford for the movies he's done in the last, I don't know. It was like this Harrison Ford hate fest, but it was for movies that he'd done in the past couple years. And I was like, on one hand, I was offended. Not offended, but I was like, hey! And then, like, I could not disagree with any single, you know, movie they brought up. I was like, yeah, that was shit. Yeah, that was shit. Yeah, okay, he hasn't done anything good in a while. But he's Harrison fucking Ford!
Yeah, I know. It's like I want to cut him a lot of credit, too, but, Firewall. Holy shit, Firewall. Oh, hang on. I gotta kiss my son. Hello. You're all awake now.
Give him tongue.
No, don't give him tongue.
Give him tongue.
Aw, oh, he did.
Baby, like, I gave him tongue by licking his head.
Babies ew.
Love the tongue. Slurper derp derp.
Slurp a derp derp.
Well, he spits on me, I lick his head. It's a, you know, escalating battle of wills.
That's
and
how you
saliva.
Learn him. I think you should do like Chicago gangster style. You draw on me, I piss on your face.
I don't think I want to escalate quite that much because it's going to come to him taking a shit in my mouth when I'm asleep one night.
All right, that's the Chicago way.
You just don't want to gurgle that.
By the way, I give Taken an A minus. There was some
ooh,
parts
A minus.
Better, but it was still it was pretty fucking good. I came to see exactly I got exactly what I came to see when I went and sat down at that movie. I was like, "Ooh, yes, kick it ass." Although I will say, if you've seen the trailers, you know she's abroad with someone else. Sucks to be that other person.
It typically does because that's usually how I kind of figured it would because that's how they show that they're serious. If there's a girl and she has a friend is going to be like probably. Raped and eaten by cannibal mice or something.
Well, Danelle was thinking to herself, like, how is she going to get them both out? Like, oh, well, that's one way to solve that.
Simpler job now. Save one. And still, the movie's a success.
A huge success.
That's always why I have problems with horror movies these days. It's like, oh, like seven people just died, and we're happy that two people are alive.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like the douchiest too. Okay, they've learned their lesson, and they're better people now. Big fucking deal. The nice guy got killed first.
Deep Blue Sea comes to mind.
Yes.
Why am I happy that fucking LL Cool J and this dude made it out? Fuck him. Yeah, that's right. I just spoiled Deep Blue Sea. Deal with it.
Was it more than LL Cool J?
What?
I thought it was only one guy. I thought it was LL Cool J.
No, LL Cool J makes it out, and the other dude's like all fucked up, but he still lives, I think.
I do not remember that.
I think he's like got a hole in his leg and shit, but...
I was very surprised by that, though. I was like, really? He's the guy that survives?
Yeah, it's because they like totally kind of set it up with the head fake of, you know, here's the guy and the girl and LL Cool J, the token black. Goodbye, black. Love interest will always prevail. Okay.
I think that movie was already, you know, giving you a head fake when they, you know, this spoiler, killed Samuel Jackson.
That's why no one should ever see that movie. You're like, yes, a Samuel Jackson movie.
Yeah. I am tired of these motherfucking sharks in this motherfucking... Gulp.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. I swear the sharks growl at certain points.
They were genetically engineered.
That's an angry shark. Get the stick.
Poke the shark. No,
don't. That was shocking. I don't think anyone was expecting that. That's probably why they did it.
Not only that, he's on land at the time. The shark just pops his head out. Give me that. Yeah, I'm back.
I get you. It's kind of like oh, what was that movie? It wasn't Broken Arrow. Executive Decision. That's the one.
Oh, where they set it up as a good surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They set it up as a Steven Seagal movie, and I'm like, ah, well, I like everyone else in it. I guess I'll see it in spite of it being a Steven Seagal movie. It's like Steven Seagal, Steven Seagal, Steven Seagal. Oh, all right.
Now it's a movie.
I would just watch a movie that had Patrick Swayze in it. Red Dawn.
I'm sorry?
Have you seen pictures of him lately?
No, he's not looking so good, though, is he?
No.
Kind of.
He's got the cancer, right?
Pancreatic cancer. It's like... I think it's like one of the most deadly cancers there is.
Patrick Swayze will kick his ass. He'll do some dirty dancing, and he'll be fine.
No. I've seen recent pictures. He is not kicking its ass. It's quite the reverse.
Maybe it's just a really long fight, like at the end of the movie.
Oh, and then skeleton Patrick Swayze will win out over cancer at the end?
Fucking somehow, if the hero's been shot in the leg, in the arm, and in the chest, he still manages to kick the villain's ass who hasn't been shot at all.
Does he have a TV show, though?
He does.
Yes.
I forget what it's called.
He looks like death.
The Beast.
It's called, like, The Beast or something like that. Yeah.
That's right. Speaking of Patrick Swayze movies, I was looking at Donnie Darko. I know everybody considers that a Patrick Swayze movie.
Okay.
He's in it briefly.
Wow. Yeah, I actually had to think for a second. Where the fuck Patrick Swayze... Oh, okay, yeah.
Kevin Smith does commentary on the director's cut of Donnie Darko.
Yes, he does.
Really?
Why?
I own that. I had no idea.
It was on the director's cut, so it came out like a little while later.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw the director's cut in theaters, and I own a copy of it on DVD.
Oh, look at... No, Andy. You guys over there.
Yeah.
I think he also did...
Roadhouse!
Yes.
I was like, yes, I forgot. And speaking of other Patrick Swayze movies.
He loves Patrick Swayze.
He commented on the Clerks 10 DVD that him and Scott Mosier should do a commentary for Roadhouse for the anniversary edition. And then shortly thereafter, Noah goes, hey, did you hear that Kevin Smith does commentary on Roadhouse? I was like, oh, he talked about wanting to do that.
And he did it.
That just seems so... That's like us... Well, more famous us. Well, more famous fatter us.
Which is to say, and anyway, at all famous us.
Yes.
Would be more famous us.
Yes. Hey, we're piss crust famous. Never you forget that.
Oh, that's right. We are famous as piss crust.
So, Tim. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yes. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say we should probably start at the top five, but we can start it after whatever Noah was just about to say.
Yeah.
Me and Andy are going to nerd out for a second. I don't know if you posted anything about it, but what did you think of the Apple preview of iPhone 3.0?
There's a lot of good stuff coming. There's a lot of stuff that I wanted not.
I've been... Like, go ahead.
Well, it's like the way that they've got the apps set up right now... Well, maybe it is, because, I mean, so much of the SDK for the 3.0 release is still under non-disclosure agreement. So you got the developers with the development kit who can't really, like, talk about anything that Apple hasn't officially announced. So for all I know, they have added a bunch of shit that I wanted, because it's stuff to, like, make apps more... kind of to let the apps a little bit more outside of themselves, like to give apps access to like Google Maps and to like your locations and stuff like that, and to be able to like take, you know, meetings and tie it to a location and like be looking at a meeting on your calendar, click on the location and have it pop up the map and offer you driving directions, shit like that, where, you know, it's like tying one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And to let apps do shit like if the app is running and you lock the screen but the app is still running, so you're like listening to, say, you know, Pandora Radio or Last FM or whatever, to give that app the ability to toss shit up on your home screen, where, you know, you push the little button and you get the little slidey for unlock. Like when you're listening to an iPod, you've got controls up on the screen. You can, you know, fast forward, pause, whatever. It would be awesome if other apps that might also want to do the same shit, like, say, Last FM, Pandora Radio, whatever, might want to be able to toss up a tiny little UI right in the middle of that locked screen. Or, you know, I don't know, say a mapping application that's doing turn-by-turn directions. Toss up what your next set of directions are right on the middle of that screen.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Google Maps integration is very cool, because, like, I always hate it, like, if you want, they have to use their own app, and so if you want to see on Google Maps and get directions, you have to go outside of the app, and then you have to go back to the app if you want to see something. Hopefully if that's done well, you know, it will eliminate that problem. Multitasking, like, have you seen the video of the Pre?
No, actually I have not, but like, I know a lot of the shit that they do on there.
That seems so cool, because, like, you can have, like, multiple apps, like, open, and, like, they just kind of hover, like, next to each other over, like, the background. And then you can easily switch between them and then, you know, minimize them, go to something else. Like, something like
that.
Yeah,
but Apple's talking about that, like, chewing up battery life. There was one thing, though, that Palm, way back in the day, so I'm going to super geek out here for a second. Palm had bought a company called Bee that was doing an operating system. It was started by a lot of engineers who used to work for Apple, and I really liked the Bee operating system. I was a big fan of that, and I was sad that it was kind of like dying on the vine because Microsoft kept fucking them over. So Palm buys them, like, doesn't do anything public with the IP. People keep asking them, hey, you know, can you continue development or open source it or let other people work on it or whatever? And it turned out that Palm was trying to take a lot of its multitasking and its graphics and all the rest of that shit and turn it into what was going to be the next generation of the Palm OS. So that was going to be Palm OS version 6, like they ended at 5. And like nobody bought Palm OS 6, so it never went any farther than 5, and I guess now they've got this web OS that's completely different basis. But the thing they were doing for multitasking in Palm 6 was all of your apps would have like two threads. So two things that do the calculation. One of them is the really heavy-duty stuff that uses up a lot of processing power, and that is responding to user input, repainting the screen, and all the rest of that shit. But your apps could quit that app and leave like a tiny little background process running that could do things, you know, do calculation or, you know, wait for an incoming IM or wait for an incoming email or whatever. And then those background processes could, like, up in the little title bar at the top, pop up like a little, you know, hey, you've got mail or whatever. And the idea was then you're multitasking without actually leaving all these tasks open and consuming resources. So you would only ever have one foreground app running at a time, and those apps would always be starting and quitting, kind of like on the iPhone, as you go in and out of them. But they'd leave these tiny little background things that would, you know, listen for events or, you know, wait for something to come in. So it seems like it's kind of like the exact opposite of what Apple's supposed to be doing with this push notification, where they've got servers sending something to, like, an overall framework that's always running. Of these little apps could leave bits of themselves running without leaving the whole app up and running.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like if someone else could do it, they could do it. Like, you know, have multiple apps open.
Yeah.
And I'm a little disappointed that the iPhone 1 does not get the MMS message.
Wait, you mean the
first-gen
iPhone?
Oh,
okay, the first-gen.
It's not getting MMS messaging, and they're not getting the Bluetooth thing, but I don't really care about that. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't really care about Bluetooth stereo. That doesn't really concern me.
Yeah, I mean, don't really understand why it doesn't get the MMS. It's...
They said it's a physical thing with the antenna or something.
Huh.
But overall, I mean, I think they're adding a lot of functionality. Maybe it's something they didn't announce, but better app moving around, better app management.
Oh, yeah, better app management. I'm really hoping for that.
But yeah, overall, I think it looks good. But yeah, the Palm Pre just has some features that is like, really? That seems so simple to do, and I don't understand why you do it. Like, one thing I'd like to see, that it's a minor thing, but I would like to see if you put an address in the calendar, you could bring it up on the map.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what I was saying of, you know, like one click. Or if you put like a person in a calendar thing.
Be able to add a person to your calendar meeting.
Yeah, and being able to like click on them and call them.
You know what? There's a Yellow Pages app, which is okay, but it actually has that feature where you can go and say, okay, I want to attend this event, and I want to invite these people. And then you can email them the information like, hey, you want to go to the movie theater, or do you want to go to this concert? I was like, ah, they can do it. Why can't you, Apple? Anyways, maybe we should move on to our movie countdown. It's Tim Stahl.
So is Palm still around, or is that company gone?
Yeah, they're saying that if this Palm Tree doesn't take off, it's done.
Yeah.
Ah.
One thing I was going to mention is, like, so you see that new Rock thing that they have that's, like, the charge, wireless charging?
No.
I hope you're talking to him.
So they have this little magnet thing. I think they call it, like, a pebble or something that you can put on the back of the Palm that will charge it. But, and they say it's wirelessly because it's just a magnet. You can pull it off, pull it on, and it will still charge the phone.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't get, like, so to me, if you still have to connect it to something, it's not really, I don't understand why that makes it better. Like, sure, you don't have to stick the little thing in the hole, but it's really negligible. Like, if you have to pull it off or pull something out of the, you know, a socket, that does not seem like a huge deal to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why you would buy that.
I would say the only reason that it would be any good is that you've got like one less open port that can get grit and shit inside of it.
Yeah,
if you don't
I mean,
have a physical connector, you don't have any. It's kind of like the reason why Apple's doing the MagSafe laptop. If you've got something that's not really making physical contact, it's just making
metaphysical contact.
Yeah, metaphysical. No, loose.
That I understand more than the Palm, because like that MagSafe has saved me so many times. I'm just like, it's like, oh, look, it popped out. All right, excellent. I'm glad it has that, because I'll step on the cord or whatever. Cell phone, I don't do that so much. But mostly probably because I don't really, once I'm taking my cell phone, I unplug it. Whereas the MacBook, I may lift it up and have it still be plugged in.
Yeah, well, I was thinking with the cell phones, it could be, like, inside your car, and you go around a corner, or it, like, falls off the dash or whatever, to not have something physically sitting inside that could get snapped off.
I don't know maybe if it can work. While you're in car charging. Huh. I don't know. Maybe it does. They only showed it, obviously, with, like, actual charger plugged in the wall. They weren't driving around with it, but I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how it'll do, because, like, it seems like it has a lot of features that seem pretty, like, badass that I would like Apple to come out with. Anyways, Tim!
Yo! What's up?
Begin us with the movies.
All right, here we go. The top five, eventually.
If you made it this far.
Yep.
Top five movies you were either excited to see or had a memorable experience at the movie theater seeing that you remember. That's gonna be a long. That's gonna be a long description to put in the show notes. Somehow, I don't think that'll be the title of this episode.
No.
So should I go first and then just go in tan order?
Sure. Let's do tan order.
Okay. So my number five. Star Trek Generations.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Good choice.
Because, I mean, that was the peak of Star Trek's, like, you know, popularity. And, you know, first time Picard and Kirk had appeared on screen together.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I was a senior in high school, so I was a dork. And, like, a bunch of us from Chamber went, did you go with us, Andy? I can't remember.
I think I did.
Why did your voice get higher when you said that?
I don't know.
Did you go with us, Andy? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Why am I using this voice? Ah!
I know I sat next to Rachel.
Oh, yeah, Rachel. She was a piece, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was cute.
I don't even know who the fuck Rachel is.
I know you don't. She's married with a kid now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet she has a kid. Giggity giggity.
That doesn't even make sense. and I had a crush on Rachel at the time, so a perfect storm of good things happened right there.
Mm. And did you get the fucker?
Delish.
Not even close.
No.
I don't think I've kissed her on the cheek.
I did take
her to Winter Formal in the shittiest tux anyone's ever had. It was shiny, silver.
Why did you pick it?
It seemed like a good idea at the time. Like, look at that, it's all shiny. And she had the good sense to not say, or not good sense, but you know, the kindness in her heart not to go. You know what? It turns out I'm allergic to formals, so I can't go.
I'm allergic to silver slimy shit.
Although I did knock on the door, and her parents answered, "Oh, hello, it's Rachel's date." Oh my God, he's black! I'm just kidding.
Were they surprised that you're black?
No,
wait,
then
you probably didn't look very black then either.
Especially not then. I had the long, straightened black hair back in a ponytail. Mm-hmm.
Wait, what'd you say?
Back in a ponytail, sir.
Oh my God.
I should see if I have that picture. I'll scan it and put it up on the website.
Oh, Tim.
I should probably blur out Rachel's face. Well, she's an actress, so I'm...
I don't think she wants to be associated with you. Or this.
He's like, not so much me as Tancast specifically. I don't think she would like to be associated with that, especially as a new mom. I'm surprised Caitlin wants to be associated with this.
Rachel, we were going to cast you for this movie, but then we saw this picture pop up on Tancast.com.
I can't believe
you associate.
You went out with this mutant freak in high school? We never dated! It doesn't matter. You were seen and photographed with
it. It's on record.
Anyway, the movie turned out to be... actually, I think I still liked it at the time, but as the years have passed, I'm like, fucking, that movie was balls.
Yeah. Just kind of introduced this whole strange metaphysical pseudo-heaven thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay.
It was kind of Star Trek V. Review.
Someone said it was similar to that in that, mm-hmm. you know, the main villain is actually trying to achieve a goal that on its own would not be that bad, and so you're not really rooting so much for our heroes to stop him. Like, just fucking help him find it a better way. Why do you have to be such a dick?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be Leslie Nielsen's ex-wife? Not Leslie Nielsen. Liam Nielsen. Liam
Neeson.
Neeson.
There you
Christ.
Go.
Some guy. Why do you have to be Qui-Gon Jinn's ex-wife? Oh, you know, perhaps Liam Neeson ex-wife jokes are not particularly funny to be made at this exact moment in time.
Oh,
that
movie
is not
ex-wife,
what I was going
for. Not
yes.
actual.
Yes,
dead
I should
wife.
Have just said Jean Grey. Why you gotta be Jean Grey?
Yeah.
Tim.
That'll be all edited out. No one's gonna know. Except that it probably won't.
My God, Tim, you're a horrible man.
Well, I didn't mean it!
Horrible man!
Star Trek was my number 5. Star Trek Generations. Crap.
All right.
But I was excited.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and toss in a very recent film. A very, very recent film. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm just going to go ahead and set my nuts down right on top of that one. Because I was so... I even blogged about it. That Jonesology post was just...
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Oh, and we were just like, oh, you know, it's going to be kind of sci-fi-y because they moved it forward, so it's not going to be like the 1930s serials were. It's going to be like a 1950s sci-fi alien kind of thing. It'll be an interesting take. And I kept thinking in the back of my head, God, I hope George Lucas doesn't piss this off. I just hope he doesn't just completely fuck everything over. Just tell me that George Lucas was only... involved peripherally, like he's collecting a big fat check to put in his big fat head and feed his stupid kids with, and that's it. But no, apparently he wrote the whole thing himself with no help.
So
we get a fucking fridge being nuked, and we get like the I wasn't a real big fan of the second one, but mm-hmm. looking further back, when we walked out of it, I was like, well, you know, at least it was better than Temple of Doom, but now I don't think so much.
At least it had CGI monkeys. Come on.
Oh,
it surprises me that I have yet to see it again. Like, I thought it'd be one of those, I'm like, oh, when I get down a video, I gotta watch all the extra features. I'm like, yeah, I'll see it again someday.
Yeah.
I'm not buying any more DVDs until I get a Blu-ray player.
Yep, I'm on the same path towards enlightenment, towards HD refinement.
Me too.
I'm not buying any more DVDs until I get a shit wad of money.
You may have to give a shit wad of money away to L.A.
Motherfuck L.A.
So, that brings it to me. I'm going to throw out The Matrix.
Oh?
Really? You were excited about that ahead of time, or was it a memorable experience when you saw it?
Both. We saw the preview. I mean, when we were all working in the movie theater.
Oh, I totally remember. Yeah.
The preview for it looked awesome because they had like, I don't remember specifically what scenes it had, but they had some of those scenes where they're doing that CGI that you know their new bullet time thing.
They had the bullet dodge on the roof in the trailer, as I recall.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, that looks crazy.
Yep.
And then I think we did a screening of it, so then we saw it before the screening, the night before the screening, and it was just a bunch of us. And then, in the beginning of the movie where she jumps in the air and the camera spins around her,
mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit! And it just got better from there. It was a great scene with everyone at the theater, and like, you know, it was... Like, you knew you were seeing, like, something new. Like, fuck, I haven't seen stuff like this before. But then a couple months down the road, everyone's doing, like, shit like that. But at the time...
The one I remember most ripping it off was Wing Commander. For no fucking reason. Like, they'd
None
be like,
at
hey,
all.
Bullet time spin. All right, continue with the scene. Nothing happened.
So, I was just about to agree with Noah about The Matrix, that I'd actually put it on my list for essentially the same reason, so that I'd had essentially the same reaction, except I didn't get to see it early like you. I went and saw it with the people the actual day it came out. I think I saw it with Bill. So, Tim, your next one, your number four?
My number four is Batman, 1989, Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson.
Oh, good choice, good choice.
Like, I remember those previews came out, I was like, ooh. And then I did something wrong and was grounded from specifically seeing that movie.
See, that's why you can't let your parents know what you really want.
So, a friend or a kid, I think I was supposed to be babysitting him. No, he was younger than me.
Were you molesting him?
I don't know. Not that I recall.
Okay.
But we told our parents we were going to see Parenthood, and he'd already seen Batman, I think, but he agreed that instead of seeing Parenthood, we would go see Batman.
That's awesome.
And so I snuck into
Batman. Was it Parenthood like R-rated?
Parenthood?
Yeah.
Steve Martin comedy.
With Steve Martin and Rick Moranis?
Where the girl comes out with the vibrator?
Yeah. I don't think that's an R, just for a vibrator.
Maybe not R, PG-13.
I think anymore you have to actually insert that vibrator into somebody's orifice before you get an R.
I'm just saying, it seemed a little racy.
Times have changed.
And did you love it, Tim?
Fuck yeah, I still love it.
Did you get in trouble for seeing it?
Well, only if my mom listens to this.
Oh, I'm telling her. I'm calling her up.
She has yet to find out. it was one of the first times where the movie was still out in theaters and it came out on video. So I got it that Christmas as, you know, good, your punishment is over, now you can watch it. I'm like, oh, good, I finally get to see it.
Oh, wait, it lasted that long?
Yeah, it lasted from summer to Christmas.
What did you do?
Oh, the punishment? I don't remember.
Okay.
It wasn't like the punishment was over, it was just like I couldn't see it in theaters, and that was just, you know, like, you know, we're not going to go back on this punishment.
Oh, so it wasn't like you couldn't see it for like a week or two, so you couldn't see it in theaters at all.
Right.
Gotcha, and that was like the only consequence for whatever you did?
Yes, and apparently it worked, because I obviously remember what I did wrong, and I corrected the behavior. But it's funny, because recently, after The Dark Knight came out, I've had a hankering to see it again. I was like, you know what, I should see if I can get that movie, because I want to watch Nicholson's Joker again, and Keaton's Batman. Not available anywhere that I can find.
Wow.
Wasn't it Best Buy, Target, Media Play. Whatever the name of the place that we were debating about a couple weeks ago.
Did you take
a stupid place.
Did you take a look at used places?
No. I should do that. Yes.
I think that would be a good idea. It's also on the Amazon.
Ah, good point there.
Jesus Christ. Oh, anthology. Okay. I saw there's a Batman movie for like $88. I'm like, what the fuck movie is that? But it's like the Batman anthology.
It's fucking the best one ever.
Yeah. That's the $88 Batman.
They should give you a refund just for the fact that you have Batman and Robin on there.
Yeah.
Listen, it was supposed to be $80, but $20. How about that? Yeah. If you take it off our hands.
Well, that should, $30.
Reduce it by the price of another movie. So that one should be free and make another movie free just because you took it.
Like, listen, we were stupid enough to print out all these discs. If you'll take it off our hands, we'll give you these other movies. How about that?
Andy, I have a random question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever heard of Omni Magazine?
Yes.
Has he heard of it?
So, my father-in-law, he remembers a story where these people in the future are exploring this area, and they find a beanstalk, and they climb it, and climb it, and climb it, and then they reach a door, and they open the door, and they're back in time in, like, Neanderthal ages. Does that ring any bell to you?
None whatsoever.
Okay. I figure if anyone knew a science fiction story, you might.
Tancast pointless tangent!
He might have read it before we were even born, so... I'm not sure. Anyways.
And when I say I know what Omni is, it does not mean I subscribe to Omni.
Liar. You fucking used to stroke to our articles in Omni.
Black holes! Oh.
No, yours were the only black holes I ever whacked it to.
Hello!
And Tim's hole is black, let me tell you. Woo! Fucking, their stars get trapped in that shit.
Furry. They get tangled up with the poo.
All right, number four, get on with it.
All the little toilet paper looks like little stars trapped in his butt hair.
You guys are wrong. All right.
You're helping with this. What do you mean you guys are wrong?
I'm sorry.
I was trying to distance myself because my wife is now staring at me like, I sense shenanigans. My number four, moving this along, it was Jurassic Park, taking it back a little ways, just like Tim. And it was kind of the same reason as wanting to see The Matrix. Just at the time, it was shit you'd never seen before. You know, fairly photorealistic animals sharing space with, like, animals that didn't actually exist sharing space with people, with, like, moving cameras and, you know, tracking shots and all that stuff. And I'd also read Jurassic Park and kind of liked the book. And, just wanted to see what they did with it. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it scared me, but there was a couple of parts where the velociraptors pop out, and it wasn't so much the scare of, like, oh, shit, there it is! Like, I get all wrapped up in it. It's like the, okay, yeah, that was loud, thanks.
It hurt my little ears.
Yep. All right, Noah, your turn.
My number four movie is a movie I believe I saw with Tim and my wife.
Hi!
Michael Clayton. I was so excited. Michael Clayton, did you not see it with me?
No. I'm sorry. The what is not what movie you're talking about or how you believe you saw it with me. How is this on your list of movies you were excited to see or had a memorable experience seeing?
Well, I was excited to see it. Like,
were
the preview
really?
Look. Yeah!
Okay.
Well, don't spoil anything because, oddly enough, we just TiVo'd that today.
Oh.
I won't do any spoilers, but the preview for it looked really good to me. Like, the way they cut it. Mm-hmm. Like,
I would agree.
It was like, oh, this looks excellent. You know, mystery. He's trying to find, he's trying to fix shit.
George Clooney looking all serious and stuff.
Yeah, and then it sucked.
No, I fucking hate you, and I hate everyone who looks like you, and I hate everyone associated with you, which means I hate me.
That's not a spoiler. He didn't say why it sucked.
It's just a judgment. Okay.
I mean, you might like it, because it still won an Academy Award, and like it got good reviews. I hated it.
We just watched There Will Be Blood, and we watched No Country for Old Men a couple of months ago. I'm convinced that everyone who says, oh, the Oscars are so political, is absolutely dead fucking right, because, oh my god.
Well, I mean, I think both were decent movies. I did not like No Country for Old Men like everyone else fucking liked it. I mean, I thought there were some good parts. I thought...
I don't think that the movies
are, evil guy did a
irredeemable
really good job.
Or anything, but... Yeah, like, it's just like... Everyone's coming in their pants for it, and both of them were kind of like, that was pretty okay.
But yeah, Michael Clayton was just horrible. All
right, well, I'll make sure to watch
it. I was kind of boring. I was like, I don't care.
I mean, I was kind of excited, because the preview, the way they cut the preview, it just looked really good. Like, I was like, oh, it's like a little mystery, and I like George Clooney. I was just so disappointed.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Alright.
Speaking of the way they cut the preview, and then it turned out I was so disappointed, my number three, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Oh, I gotta mark that off my list now that we're gonna talk about it on yours.
Fuck, I was so excited!
I think we each have something to say about that one.
Oh, yes we will. Dude, do you remember my brother came over, like, took a day off work to come watch it with us in the Bay Area?
Yes! Do you remember, like... The first announcement, I was all irritated. I was like, I didn't want to go backwards. I wanted to continue to go forwards because, A, I wanted to see more Harrison Ford, and, B, I always felt like a prequel makes no sense because it's like telling me more of the setup to a joke after you've told me the punchline.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I doubt you're going to make it any funnier. He still is crossing the road to get to the other side. I don't care what the chicken did before he got to the road.
You didn't care, like, how Darth Vader came to be the way he was?
Nope.
Okay.
Didn't care. Like, I could have done, like, if episode 3 had been episode 1 and episode 2 and 3 had been events in between episode 3 and 4, whoa, fuck, that is a nerdy, confusing conversation. But if it had been, like, fucking Darth Vader kicking ass for 2 movies, like, being dark and evil, that would have been interesting. Watching fucking this little farm boy build C-3PO and be gay, no, don't care. Oh! Speaking of which, kind of a side note, but Nick, one of our listeners, sent me these 2 links a while ago to where they put subtitles under what R2-D2 was quote-unquote saying. Hilarious.
Yes, please.
For episode 1 and 2, I will forward those to you.
Please send those. Thank you.
But anyway, like, by the time the movie was actually coming out, like, you know, finally that first preview came out, I was like, oh, shit, the episode 1 preview is in. And everyone's like, oh, run it. And we all, like, went in the theater and watched it, and we were all excited. Like, oh, shit, it started. And then, like, even to the point when it actually started, and, like, the big Star Wars logo comes on the screen for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, I don't know, whatever it was, 20 years, and we were like, oh! And then, no. It just fucking Jar Jar Binks showed up.
I remember we walked out of there, and it was like we walked in there with the biggest smiles on our faces. We walked out of there, and the smiles were kind of like more like plastered on. Like, remember that one toast at my wedding that evil cunt H gave? Everyone's smiles just kind of went to like rigid, like, somebody shoot her or me. I don't care. Shoot someone. Make this different in some way. I think we kind of walked out of there. It was like we still felt like we needed to have liked it. And then we went across the street to the Chili's, and we sat down, and we started going, wait, okay, what? Fucking Darth Vader made C-3PO? What? What the fuck is that? Little, like, tiny orphan boy stick of wood is the best you could do for this acting role that's supposed to carry this fucking movie? And who the fuck named Jar Jar Binks? Better. Who greenlit it?
I also remember at that Chili's, a group of Catholic schoolgirls were running around. And they were very young. And I said, hey, look, Catholic schoolgirl uniforms. And they're like, Tim, they're fucking 9. I was like, I didn't say anything about the racks the uniforms were sitting on. I was just pointing at the uniforms.
All
of a sudden, I'm sick.
Strange fetish for the Catholic schoolgirl uniform.
Believe it.
I think we... Either we camped out for the tickets, or somehow we got tickets early, and then we lined up early to see the movie. I do remember that, getting there early and waiting in line, like, oh, we're gonna go see Star Wars. Yeah. I mean, I don't recall being that disappointed.
Now me would totally travel back in time to tell then me, don't fucking bother.
I remember I dressed up as Indiana Jones, because I thought that'd be funny.
You know what's
like
excellent?
A lot of people were in costume.
You saying that sets me up for my number 3.
Oh, well. Okay, then.
Which is anything that Tim dressed up to go see. Because it wasn't like, you did it for one of the Batman movies. I think, didn't you dress up as Superman for
Batman.
That one?
No, I actually dressed up as Batman for Batman Forever.
Oh, that's right. You dressed up as Superman to go see the Hulk. Wasn't that it?
No, I dressed up as Superman to go see episode 2.
Oh, that's right.
They're like, oh, what's he going to see? Spider-Man? But he's dressed as Superman. Well, maybe episode 2? But he's dressed as Superman! And I had to get gas on the way there. That was really annoying.
Oh, that was always so much fun for me. Like, I always looked forward to doing that with you. Especially since I knew that if I was there, that anyone who wanted to try to start shit with you for being a strange little monkey probably wouldn't, because you looked like the strange little monkey with a great big friend who would eat them.
And he was a bouncer in the same way that Pac-Man was. Anyone else?
I see problems, I eat the pill, and you turn blue, motherfucker. So I used to always look forward to that. That was a shit ton of fun right there. Tim would take even shitty movies, like the later Batman movies, and make them fun by dressing up for them.
I still liked Batman and Forever when it came out. It wasn't until much later, another one on my list, that I was like, this is kind of crap.
Nice. So, Noah, on to your number three.
So, my number three is There's Something About Mary.
Really?
I was excited to see that movie. Huh. Again, we were working at the theater. And remember, movies I can remember.
Well, I I'll let you finish.
We saw the previews. The previews looked kind of funny. And then, we did another late night showing before it came out.
Oh.
And it was so much funnier than the preview.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
that was a good experience. I do remember that.
And that's why I loved it, because, the preview didn't really show you anything but the funny parts. You're like, that looks kind of funny. I can't wait to see it. But, the movie was just great. And then I went to go see it probably, six or seven more times.
Man, I remember being in the theater and seeing the Franks and Beans shot.
Yeah, you're like, they showed it. You're like, That was kind of the start of those kind of gross out comedies where it's like how gross can we make this?
Yep.
And the best part is they talk about it and they talk about it and they talk about it and they don't show it and you're like, okay, they're not going to show it.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden they show it.
Yep.
And I remember me, Zoltan, and somebody else were literally rolling on the floor grabbing our junk. We're like, oh God, no! Why?
How do you get the beans above the freak? Beans.
I remember that. Just like Austin Powers, the first one, and I hope I'm not burning someone's list. But saw the previews, had no desire to see that movie. I was like, this movie looks dumb as shit. And so I was very pleasantly surprised by both that. And Deuce Bigelow. That was another one. Where I was like, I was not expecting anything out of this movie.
Yes, and Deuce Bigelow was a big surprise.
Yep. And then Deuce Bigelow number two, whatever the hell that one was.
Was
European Gigolo.
Yeah, that kind of made up for Deuce Bigelow.
You're like, that's a return to form.
Yes.
Form of shit.
Did I ever show you guys the Barack Obama parody poster with Optimus Prime?
No.
I'll send it to you. That just made me think of it. Anyways, so that was my number three. So There's Something About Mary. I just loved that movie. It was hilarious.
All right, so my number two.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Future, Part 2. I was a huge Back to the Future until Return of the Jedi got re-released while I was working at the movie theater. Back to the Future was the movie I had seen most in the theater. And I'd seen it in, I think, three different states.
Wow.
I saw it a bunch of times in California, and then went up to visit my relatives up in Port Townsend, as I am wont to do. And back then, the movie theater, even now, I think they're a little delayed from, openings. They don't get them right away.
Mm-hmm.
But, they were a couple months behind. I used to make jokes, they just got Gone with the Wind up there. They just got talkies. They're really excited. They had to install speakers in the theater. Back to the Future had been out for a while, and I guess a lot of people, the town hadn't seen it because it... Noah just sent the Optimus Prime link. But yes, I have seen that, and that is amazing.
Change
into a truck.
They said, well, we kind of want to see Back to the Future. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll see... Oh, obviously, I didn't. I was a little kid. I want to see Back to the Future.
I just got perm my hair first.
No, not back then. That wasn't high school.
No, he was anti-perm. He was the opposite of perm.
I know.
I think they technically still called it a perm.
Yeah.
But anywho. So then finally they announced they're making a sequel, and I remember I watched the making of with Leslie Nielsen. This time I got the name right. It was Leslie Nielsen. And they talked about the... it was... Not only was it a sequel to Back to the Future, it took place in the future, so they're like... There's futuristic, hoverboards and flying cars. Oh, I couldn't wait.
Mm-hmm.
They just released those Nikes that he wore.
They did?
Yeah, recently, I think, that you can actually, buy.
And they'll lace themselves?
I don't know about that. I think it's, a limited edition something. I saw it a while ago.
Thank you, Captain Information. Woo! It's like CNN is on the line! Hey, something vaguely similar to what you're saying happened, but I don't have any details.
Well, they released the shoe. I know that, but it doesn't tie itself.
You know?
Well, that was its feature.
Yeah. That it, laced itself and custom fit itself to your foot.
didn't happen in real life.
Yeah. I think that was the first time that I'd ever heard of a movie being filmed, you know, essentially concurrently or, like, immediately followed by its own sequel.
Ah, yes.
Where they were actually able to show, a sneak preview trailer or whatever at the end of that for Back to the Future 3. That kind of weirded me out when I saw that. I was like, how are they doing this?
I was just like, I want it to be now.
Shouldn't they have to make like a whole other movie? Don't those take years? These movies are always years apart.
That was the other thing. It came out Thanksgiving weekend, which, as I may have mentioned on previous podcasts, Thanksgiving is always when I went to Disneyland with my mom. So we saw it the night it came out, went to bed, got up, and went to Disneyland. So all in all, A, who usually anticipated, B, great experience. Like, movie! Oh, Disneyland! Yay!
You're gay!
Whatever. Yeah, I'm gay for Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. I'll take one in the mouth for Back to the Future. Did you hear that they've re-released Back to the Future, like, 1, 2, and 3 individually? Like, they used to only sell them in a 3-pack, but now you can buy them individually, and now they have the ride on them. You can watch the ride that got taken out of Universal Studios.
I did not hear this.
I had not heard that.
Motherfucking bullshit.
Well, you think
I already have them. I don't need to buy them again just to watch the ride. Give me the ride for free! You hear me, Bob Gale?
You can't find it on YouTube?
I don't want to watch it on pixelated-ass YouTube. I want it in high, crystal-clear DVD definition.
You want it in suck my balls clarity.
Anyway, that was my number two. I'm done with that.
My number two is going to be a threefer, and it is all three Lord of the Rings movies.
Woo!
I read those books when I was I don't know if I was a teenager or just barely preteen, but, you know, I was, like, somewhere in the 11 to 13 range. And I read them once and was impressed. Very impressed. Then I read them again later, and I think I got a little bit more out of it. I read them again a little bit later. I think I've read it maybe 4 or 5 times, something like that, in my life so far. But it was one of those things where it was like, you know, every once in a while I'd be like, I think it's time to reread The Lord of the Rings. And it was just a little project that I would work on. Working my way all the way through them. And then I heard that it was being made by somebody who was a huge fan who wanted to do it right. Especially after I saw the first one.
You stand alone on those comments, sir.
What?
I said you stand alone on those comments, sir.
I like the movies.
I sat down with it was my dad and my uncle. My mom at the time couldn't.
Was that your strange uncle that would touch you?
I didn't have a strange uncle that would touch me. I wasn't that
lucky.
Oh,
he must have blocked it out.
Yeah. Anyways, so my dad, my brother, my uncle, and I all watched. It was the day after Thanksgiving, so, you know, had the whole family together. Watched the extended cuts of all three of those movies back to back to back. Uh-huh. That was a fucking project. That was a day-long movie.
I don't think Tim approves.
It was awesome.
Seeing as I gave up after the second movie, and I still have yet to see the whole third movie, I don't. I'm like, I am done. I don't care.
I want to see all the director's cuts, but that's such a fucking huge project.
Seriously.
I'm just like, that's what took me so long to watch The Godfather.
Devote some time to.
Like, I remember when we had those Godfather DVDs. Like, they would sit there, and I would look at them, and I'm like, I want to watch those, but those are fucking long.
Dude, Tim, I still have your Godfather DVDs. I have got to get those things back to you at some point before we die.
You motherfucker!
Motherfucker!
I was just saying to somebody, I used to have the Godfather, but I don't know what happened to it.
I know what happened to it. I know exactly where it is.
You fucking ganked it. That's what happened to it.
Ganked it.
Our movers ganked it, actually.
Lies!
Because I'd borrowed it from you right before we moved, and then the movers came in, and I'd set it aside to give it back to you, and the movers went, oh, this isn't with everything else, and tossed it in with everything else.
You're too efficient.
I had put it, they had a, if you don't want us to pack things, put it over here by this door in this area. We won't pack anything in there. Well, apparently that meant, we'll go ahead and pack everything that you put over here by this door.
You put your cat over there, it's like, rah! Duct taping up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, our cats were thrilled the day the movers were coming through.
I bet they were hiding.
Well, they tried to hide, and the movers fucking took everything for them to hide under.
That's such a funny visual. Like, the hide underneath the bed gets lifted up, the hide underneath the dress gets lifted up, like,
yeah. My wife ended up having to go out on our little tiny porch and sit out there with the cats so the cats could feel safe.
Can I just say, planes need to stop fucking crashing.
Okay. Did another one just crash?
Montana.
Oh. Okay. I'm sorry, sad,
but it's like, geez, there's been seems like a lot of plane crashes lately.
Was somebody from The Godfather on the plane?
No.
Were either of my cats on the plane?
Nope. I'm just watching CNN when I talk to you guys.
Okay. Well, then CNN can tell us what your number two is, Noah. It's your turn.
My number two would be Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, yeah. We saw that while the girls were doing their bachelorette party, right?
Did we? I know it must have, because me... Well, that was the second time I saw it. I'd seen it.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Was that the second time you had seen it, Tim?
No, it was my first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're out for some reason. But yeah. Oh, wait, why was I there? Anyways, doesn't matter. It was... Like, the preview looked pretty good, but I was kind of, like, unsure. Like, oh, I don't know. It might be good. I like the other diehards. And I saw it, and it was fucking awesome. Like, I don't think I could have asked much more of it. It had its quippy lines. Justin Long was funny. Had good action. It was back to form.
Do you feel it hurt from being tamed down to a PG-13? Because I was reading that on crack.com. They were complaining about it.
I did.
I did not.
I think I gave that movie about a B+ in my head, you know, where I keep
I just
all
realized
the
grants. we stopped giving ratings.
Oh, like, they don't usually give ratings during the countdown. They just do ratings when they do the 10 cat or the
Oh, right. Yeah. We only did it the first time. Yeah, it was I did not think it suffered from being like I didn't, you know, sometimes you watch a movie and you're like, "Oh, you know, they said this lame line because they couldn't curse or, you know, they didn't show this violence because whatever," but it was still, I thought, pretty violent.
I thought it was exceptionally violent for being PG-13, and it made me think that the South Park guys were right. You can show people getting blown the fuck up, or shot, like, in front of a car, or driven over and pushed into a mine shaft, and or a elevator shaft, and then a car dropped on them, but you better not say fuck more than once.
Or show a penis.
Or show a penis. Speaking of penises, we just watched... Forgetting Sarah Marshall with Caitlin's parents. I had forgotten how much nudity there was in that film.
I have yet to see that movie.
Oh, it's excellent.
It's pretty funny.
Yep.
But yeah, I didn't feel it suffered. It was just fucking awesome. I mean, and it was good enough that you really didn't pay attention to the plot holes too much. you know, like fighting a jet. Yeah, I don't think so, but it was.
Danelle was so off out of the movie at that point. When the jet starts versing the semi truck, she's like, "What the fuck?" She's like, "I'm done."
I'll admit that's a little bit unrealistic, but I loved it.
I was like, "Didn't you just 3 weeks ago see Transformers and say it was good? So you're done. You cannot complain about this jet fighting this fucking truck. At least this truck doesn't turn into a guy
and fight the
who
jet.
Fights the jet who turns into another guy who looks like a fucking sumo wrestler fat suit wearing guy with spindly arms and legs." That was probably one of, I mean, other than, you know, the glaring plot holes and the completely useless addition of John Turturro. that was probably one of my biggest complaints with the design aesthetic of Transformers, was Starscream looked like one of those guys in the novelty sumo suits that you see, you know, running into each other at the middle of hockey games.
Well, he looked like he had such, like, frail, spindly legs that you could just tap him and be like, wah, wah, wah!
Yeah, I could kick Starscream's ass. As long as he wasn't flying, I'd just run up and sweep the leg. Sweep the leg! So, yeah.
Yes.
I was very pleasantly pleased with that movie.
I enjoyed that as well. So much so that I dragged Danelle to it on our honeymoon.
How romantic.
I said, "Look at the baby. Nothing's going to say it. Nothing says I love you like yippee-ki-yay, mother."
Oh, didn't we watch it again on DVD and they put the line back in?
Yes, because on the DVD I have, they have both the theatrical and the unrated version.
Navy SEALs.
They've changed a couple of things.
Was it much more violence or anything in the unrated version?
I recall just a couple different lines, and that's pretty much it. Like, some of the lines are a little bit different. I think maybe there's an F word or two in there. Woo!
I love the fight scene with that Asian girl. That was funny.
And then we was talking to the guy about how he kicked her ass.
Yeah.
Little Asian bitch likes to kick people.
I love it because he seemed just so, like, not like he was really fucking with the guy, like he was just fed up with it. Like, this pissed me off, and I'm going to tell you about it.
That would definitely be a movie I'll be watching.
Die Hard 4.
Sorry, what was that?
I said, if only Indy 4 could have been as good as Die Hard 4.
Yep.
What did you say?
I was just going to say, that'll be a movie I'll be buying on Blu-ray. I would love it if they brought Samuel Jackson back. Teamed them
yes.
up again.
Yes.
That was all they needed. Just yep. Samuel Jackson. That would have been...
That's probably almost either a tie or pretty close to Die Hard 3. Like, Die Hard 3 was my favorite for a while, but yes. Die Hard 4, it's pretty good.
I still prefer Die Hard 3.
Oh, wait, Die Hard 3 is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough decision. Speaking of Samuel Jackson, I waited till the end of Taken to see if he showed up at the end to recruit Liam Neeson for S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm going to do that in every movie I'm in from now on. Then I go watch.
We waited until the end of Watchmen to see if he showed up.
Exactly. He might have been in Watchmen. I waited.
Yep.
Fucking, he's going to be at least 9 pictures coming up.
So are we down to our number ones?
We're down to our number ones.
Are we down to number
Woo!
Ones?
Yep.
Was that number two I just did?
That was number two.
Noah
just did his number two, just like my son.
Nice. Are you all right, Noah?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So my number one movie I was excited to see that I remember... Independence Day, or ID4.
Oh, Tim, you just took another one off my list. That's three that you guys have done.
That was your number one?
No, that was one of my alternates in case.
Ah, first of all, what a brilliant marketing campaign for that movie. You didn't see anything up after the White House exploded.
Mm-hmm. You didn't see people, you just saw shit blowed up.
Yep, it's like, you know. And it was such, you know, on July 2nd, they come, and you see, the shadows approaching the Earth, and people looking up like, holy, what's that? November 3rd, or November, Jesus Christ, July 3rd, they attack, White House blows up, and then it goes, Independence Day is the day we fight back, and that was it, that was the entire trailer. And I was like, oh, I want to see the movie, ah!
Yeah. I'm not sure that marketing would even go as well. Well, the White House blowing up, I'm sure people overseas are like, a big fucking deal. But that whole thing of,
that's,
you know,
our fantasies,
July 2nd, July
3rd, to.
July 4th, we fight back. That shit speaks to Americans. That gets to something primal in us.
And, I remember, they moved up the day so that you could actually, so it actually came out on July 2nd. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to come out July 3rd. And they moved it up, so I was like, oh, we're watching the movie the day the movie starts. Ah!
Yep.
So like,
that blows my mind.
Oh, man. And I remember I went with such a good audience. You know, it wasn't like the idiot assholes, like, talking back to the screen. Like, something impressive would happen, and people would just be like, oh, all together, or something great would happen, and everyone's, yeah, together. Just nobody being assholes about it. And, like, stop applauding quickly so we can hear more of what's going on with the movie. I walked out of that movie so jazzed, I went and told somebody, I'm like, this is one of the best fucking films I have gone to see in a long time. And the guy totally pissed on it and went, you know, it's just War of the Worlds done up again. Man, fuck you, dude!
Yeah, that's the problem. The movie does not hold up at all. Like, you go back and watch it, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How the fuck did his computer interface with the aliens that quickly, and why didn't this work, and how does that... Wait, no, it all falls to shit.
Max, so many of their plot holes, though, they gloss over a lot better if you watch the extended cut.
This is very true. But,
so many of them.
But still, Will Smith punches it through its exosuit at one point.
Yeah.
And that knocks it out cold for several hours.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the thing with the exosuit and all that. It was like, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to have the tiny brainy alien or the big slimy alien, so they just took A and stuffed it inside a B like it's the fucking Cadbury cream egg alien.
Although if you watch the original ending on the DVD, you're like, oh, would that have sucked. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I can't recall.
I don't know, no.
So you know how Randy Quaid was the drunken crop duster guy?
Oh, I think you told me this. Yeah.
Sorry if I spoiled this?
No, you told me. I know you told me before, I just can't remember specifically.
Please continue.
Okay. So in the movie, he's like, yeah, I can fly, I'm a pilot, and he's all drunk, and if the scene had played out, the guy's like, you're fucking drunk as shit. No, we're not accepting you. So he has to sit on the sidelines, and then when they go up to fight the aliens, Randy Quaid isn't in a fighter jet. None of the stuff with him in the fighter jet happens. And so, like, at the end, when he goes to fire the missile, and then it doesn't work, and so he ends up having to ram spoilers if you haven't seen it. I'm ruining the actual version and the alternate ending.
It has been 15 years, though. Get on it.
Well, I still haven't seen Scarface and Citizen Kane, so I'm behind on a lot of things.
Okay. Has it really been 15 years?
No, it's been like 95, or something like that.
Holy shit! Anyways,
96. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you get to see the moment where he decides to sacrifice his life for his family by ramming the thing. Blah blah blah. In the alternate ending, the baby cries, and
the aliens die.
He was shocked. Yep. It's like, wait, he sacrificed himself? That sucks.
Oh yeah, your kid hasn't seen it yet. Sorry.
Nope. From a kid.
So in the alternate ending, pretty much the same stuff goes down, except with just no Randy Quaid until the very end. Like, you know, like, we need somebody with missiles, and the one guy has missiles, and then his ship gets shot down. They're like, nobody has any missiles left. And then fucking Randy Quaid shows up in his crop dusting plane.
Oh, yeah.
With a missile taped to the bottom of it and flies into the ship.
You did not like that?
Yeah.
Hello!
That was so dumb. Gay.
It was like, and like I remember that when they kill Brent Spiner's character, I remember like in the theater, like we all yelled, like more than one person I remember yelled out, "They killed Data!" We were very upset. Yeah, I was just so into that movie. Like, into it coming out, and then after it came out, I was so high off of it. And then, like, there were some people, like, I remember specifically Bill Maher on the show talked about how much the movie sucked. I was like, really? It was great. What are people talking about? And then just little by little, people will tell you, like, yeah, it sucks. It's a shitty movie. What are you going to do? But fuck, you can't take away my experience of loving it the first time.
Yep. Same here.
That's why it's number one on my list.
Boom da boom.
And why it was one of my alternates. I bet if Tim thinks really hard, he can probably pick out what my number one is going to be.
Come gargling gay men. You saw it with the group of your gay friends. You jerked each other off while watching it.
Salty man gravy. Yes, that was my number one movie. No, douchebag. It was Fight Club.
Fight Club?
Fight Club.
I think Tim liked my answer better.
If I had thought really hard, I would have come up with 17 movies before Fight Club.
Really?
Huh. Well, 17 movies before giving up and you finally saying Fight Club.
Yeah, probably.
Fight Club was a good movie.
Yeah, and
I remember how much you liked it.
It was kind of like The Matrix in the... They were doing shit, like, cinematography-wise that other people hadn't done yet.
David Fincher is fucking awesome.
I would have to agree.
I've never seen Benjamin Button.
I like that a lot. You know, I would say I like Fight Club better, though. But, yeah, like, there's a lot of visual stuff going on, and then the dialogue was just very tight. It was good.
Yep.
The characters were good.
Tight dialogue, tight.
Yeah, and the just the way that the plot unfolds, and the way that, like, little shit's kind of tucked in there, and then all of a sudden it blows up to be huge. I think the way it was shot, the plotting, the way it was acted, all of those things were just insane, mind-bending, awesome. When I saw it in theaters. And that one, I think, even knowing what the gotcha is all these years later, I still go back and watch that movie from time to time.
I have it on the divot.
Yep.
I remember Andy said, "Tim, you're either going to love this movie or you're going to hate it."
Yep.
And so he let me borrow the DVD, and we lived together, so he just left it around, so he didn't hide it so that I could find it and put it in the DVD. And then I watched it, and I told him, I was kind of indifferent.
It was that the truth, Tim?
No, I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I didn't hate it, and I wasn't indifferent. So, loved it is closer to the answer. I enjoyed it immensely.
Tim liked it. Like, Tim would take it on a couple of dates, but he probably wouldn't marry it.
I liked it enough that I was like, I want to read the book now.
Me too.
And I did.
Not me. No.
And someone told me that the book is a lot different, but when I remember reading the book almost seemed like exactly like the movie to me. And it's a very thin book.
Yeah. It's a fairly short story.
Yeah. So it was a pretty big gap between when I saw the movie and when I read the book, but I don't remember a lot that was different in the book that was in the movie.
Well, how about part of the ending?
I don't specifically remember that. It wasn't the same?
No, not at all. completely different. Although, apparently, and I think this is actually off of the commentary, because they had Chuck Palahniuk do the commentary for it. I think he said that he liked the movie's ending better than the one he'd written for the book.
Wow.
Like, I'm not even sure that he qualified that with it was a better movie ending than my book's ending would have been as a movie ending. I think he, like, saw it and was like, damn, I wish I'd written it this way.
Well, so why would you say spoiler here and tell me how the book ended?
Okay. Spoiler. It'll be over in seconds. So the movie obviously ends with the shit actually going off and taking down the captains of industry. The book ends with him waking up and thinking, oh, good, I defused the bombs. Or no, he wakes up and thinks, like he remembers that Tyler was never any good with his, like, fusing or something like that. So the bombs aren't going to go off. Like, he realizes that Tyler fucked it up. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the medic guys show up and are taking him away because he's now got the huge Joker smile that, like, goes from cheekbone to cheekbone.
Because he shot himself like he did in the movie.
And he, like, actually ripped out through the cheeks.
He'd
bitten through one of his cheeks earlier. And then when he shot himself, it, like, ripped, like,
Jesus
a
Christ.
Huge smile. So it's a bit more, yeah, violent in the book. One of the EMT guys tells him, it's okay, Mr. Durden, we'll keep trying, or something like that. And then that was it. No, I may have fucked up some of the particulars there, so nobody write me. I haven't read the book in a decade.
Write him! Write him! Get it out now! Tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack-tack
Noah.
So, how about snakes on a plane?
Yeah, that was one of my alternates.
And that movie, it wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. But just like the fucking marketing for it. It's like, you know, you heard about a movie called Snakes on a Plane. They're going to change the name. But, like, Samuel Jackson's like, no, you got to keep the movie Snakes on a Plane. Because, like, you know, it's honest.
He was right.
On a plane.
You were coming to see a movie about snakes on a plane. I love just the audacity of making a movie about snakes on a plane.
Yeah, they
and they wanted to cut it down, or like trim down the gore and make it PG-13. And they're like, no, like the fans heard about that and they got all mad, so they reshot it and specifically put in that one line.
Yeah, enough is enough. I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
I think they also put in the random titty shots for the sex in the bathroom.
That is correct.
They're like, oh, as long as we are, let's get some titty in here.
Titty, hell titty, yes. Titty.
And that was very interesting because, like, I don't recall another movie having so much groundswell that, you know, fans, like, you know, kind of guided how the movie went.
Yeah. And I don't think there ever will be again. The studios saw the box office returns and went, wow, so a shit ton of idiots clamoring at each other on the internet doesn't necessarily actually mean anything. Well shit, anybody who watches the level of political discourse on the internet would know that in a hot second.
Well, it doesn't help that they, you know, the movie itself was pretty weak. I mean, even if it had been toned down, it was a pretty weak plot.
Yeah.
So there wasn't much to catch people who've been dragged there by their internet friends.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it was enjoyable for what it was.
They should have gone whole hog, like, made it just completely over the top. Like,
exactly.
Like, they reined it in all the wrong places.
Also, the crest of the internet hype hit well before the movie was finally released.
Yep.
It was like, yeah, hype! Ah, never mind, we're done with the hype.
We're on something else.
We are the internet. We are fickle. We are on to lolcats.
Hey, the movie's out. We said, yeah.
Does the movie have captions of cats? No. Interest waned.
Fail.
Yeah, I mean, I think I went in expecting exactly what I got. Snakes on a plane.
That also holds a unique day in my heart, or a unique place in my heart, because it was the day I moved in with Danelle.
Oh, that's so gay.
You were there. Like, we finished moving, we're like, all right, let's go.
Oh, no, I should say this.
We were just talking about that the other day. All right, before we get to alternate, you know, everybody who, you know, alternates, I have to tell that story. We were in Disney. No, we weren't. We were in Vegas. Disneyland, Vegas, whatever.
Disneyland for adults, Vegas.
It's bright, it's shiny, it costs a lot of money.
Yep.
And Danelle was talking about how some of the kids in her orphanage ended up working in sweatshops for, you know, places like The Gap, and I was wearing a Gap sweatshirt. I was like, well, anytime I wear this Gap – oh, sorry. I should say, me, Danelle, and Noah were sleeping in the same bed. Nothing was happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. DP, baby. DP!
And we thought at this point that Noah was asleep, and we were just sort of whispering to each other. And so I was like, so whenever I wear this Gap sweatshirt, I'll think of you. And all of a sudden I hear Noah go, My alternates that didn't make the list so far were Dumb and Dumber. Because I remember Chamber went and saw – a lot of us from Chamber went to saw that. Like, we left a party, went and saw the movie, and then came back to the party.
Not me. And I wasn't hanging out with all party, you cool Mormons.
What's that?
Not me. I wasn't hanging out with all you cool Mormons.
Oh, yeah. Holly was there.
Yep. You got in really good with that Mormon contingent in the choir.
But it was at Joe's house, so I thought you might have been there.
Maybe I was. I don't remember anymore. It's a long time ago.
I remember, like, just before the movie, like, they're like, Tim, we dare you to go, because there's, like, a stage. It was, like, one of those old theaters in Stockton that, like, it used to be, like, a stage. Like you could perform on it, and then they just put a screen down so they could show movies on it. So, like, Tim, I dare you to go up there and do the moonwalk. And I was like, no. Like, come on, do it. And so, like, all right. So I went up there, I did the moonwalk, rousing round of applause, and just as that happened, the lights went down to start the movie.
I was there.
See?
I didn't remember any of the rest of that shit, the party and the going to the movie or anything else like that, but I remember you running down and fucking moonwalking, and then the movie started. I couldn't have told you what movie that was if you'd put a gun to my head, but I fucking remember that happening. More reason why I put down as one of my top five anything that Tim dressed up for, because Tim is typically a good fucking time.
That's what it says on the women's bathroom wall.
Oh, you don't know the half of it. Oh, yeah.
Tim is generally a good fucking time.
And my other alternate was Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa.
Which I was not immediately, like, I was actually quite skeptical of when I saw the trailer. I was like, really, do we need to make another one of these? And then a friend comedian of mine was like, fuck yes, we need to make another one of these. I was like, all right, calm down.
And they did.
And then he was like, didn't you know that Comcast has the first five movies for free? And so then I watched him. I was like, fucking, I love Rocky. I totally forgot about that.
Yes, I remember
super
that.
Super excited.
That Rocky kick lasted for quite a while.
Yeah, baby. Rocky, bitches. It's still not completely over. I still love me some Rocky. Yeah.
So all of my alternates got burnt up by you guys.
Wow. At least it was your alternates and not your list.
Well, I had, like, loosely organized the list, so I just went ahead and, like, pushed things around as they got used up.
Oh, look at
just
you.
Just like your gut.
What?
I don't know.
That doesn't even make sense. And you are a hateful, hateful bastard.
Yes, I am.
So Noah probably didn't have any alternates because Noah came unprepared.
I had some alternates.
Oh, did you?
Oh, snap.
Transformers sucked.
But you were excited about it until...
I was fucking very excited about it.
I am similarly getting excited about the sequel, and I don't know why, because half my brain is like, oh, that looks good, and the other half is like, do you remember what happened last time we said that?
Have you seen a preview for it?
Yeah, you haven't seen the... I think it was... They did an ad for the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I saw
it. I think there's
a
full-on trailer online.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
It looks,
just go to YouTube, looks, do Transformers 2 trailer. Done.
Maybe it didn't look very good.
Well, you have to sift through all the fucking fan ones.
I think
that's
even...
what I hate. I hate when people's parody videos get to the top of the YouTube results.
Yes.
It's like, no, I don't care about your fucking parody shit. I want to see the original fucking video.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of mine, in which case, yes, watch it. It's good.
It was kind of like Two Girls, One Cup. Try finding that about a week into that phenomenon, and you're just finding all everybody's reactions.
Yes.
Yes, I documented my problems with that, actually. That was my
indeed
reaction
did
video. Which someone else found instead of finding the video.
That's metaphor.
Like, I wanted to find the fucking video!
Whoa, what
anyway,
the heck
sorry
is this? Oh, sorry. And I had one more. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, yeah. That did look exciting.
I don't remember being real jazzed up for it, but I remember having a real good in-theater.
I wasn't jazzed up about it. It was just like I was hanging out with some friends. They were like, oh, you know, we should go see a movie. I'm like, oh, well, this Long Kiss Goodnight looks kind of good. And it was another one of those things where you had the preview. The preview made it look okay.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We loved it. Like Samuel Jackson with the snarky lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Gina Davis really making you believe that a school teacher could go out and like break somebody's neck with her hands.
Well,
she was
until
fucking
I met my wife
up
and I realized, apparently that's more common than you might think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was... I think I might have started my love affair with Samuel Jackson. He was very... He had so many funny lines.
Yep. you're I would have been here sooner, bad, but I was
thinking of the ham and ham sandwich line.
See those coming, time. You got time to fix your hair. Shit.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I hope not, because I'm thinking how much my balls hurt.
Were you born stupid? Did you take lessons? I took lessons.
That's a duck, not a dick. Oh, just the indignant tone that he takes.
Yeah, it's the tone that really sells most of his lines.
Yeah, so that was... I just love that movie. Sometimes I sit down and watch... I mean, it doesn't really hold up as well, but it's still a good movie.
Noah, are you wrestling with a bear while you're trying to talk to us?
Sorry, I was fidgeting with my mic.
It needs to be called We Love Samuel L. Jackson. That'll be this episode. Because I think we've spent a good amount of time sucking his dick so far.
Even movies I know are going to be shitty, I'm like, well, it's got fucking Samuel Jackson in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like episode 2
Lakeview
and 3?
Lakeview Terrace.
Did you see Lakeview Terrace?
No.
Oh,
eventually I'll see it. I finally saw The Man.
That wasn't bad. I saw it with my mom when it was in theaters.
It was all right.
It wasn't one of my top excited to see, though.
Yeah.
No, definitely wasn't mine, but I just wanted to mention I finally saw it. Because it was kind of like on my list. Like, oh, Simon Jackson's on it. I want to see it. I'll definitely see all fucking 9 movies he's going to be in coming up.
Yeah, I think I will too.
Nick Fury.
I hope you enjoy my $90 Samuel Jackson.
I don't think they go straight to Samuel L. Jackson.
No, they go right into his pocket. He's that fucking good.
That was part of his deal for the 9 movies.
It's part of his contract. Any money that Noah pays to see the movie goes straight into my pocket. They have the secret tube that they just put my money in and just goes to Samuel Jackson's house.
He's like, oh, I'm putting this motherfucking money in my motherfucking pocket.
Ah. I'm going to buy some motherfucking coke for my motherfucking nose.
Aw. He's not a crack addict anymore.
Coke addict.
Coke addict. But
I think it was a crack addict, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't even know about that, so see, I wasn't being hateful. I was being silly. Man, he's all
see,
big and
sometimes
Hollywood.
You can... It sounds like you're being hateful on accident.
I know.
Sometimes that happens.
Sometimes with wives, it happens. With recently dead wives. Tragically recently dead wives.
Oh,
we're totally
all right.
Not making fun of that.
You are doing that on purpose. You are a douche.
Little bit, yeah.
We should have sprinkled dead wives throughout the podcast. So
oh,
back and
oh no! Why would anyone?
Dead wives.
Poor Liam Neeson. I got his name right finally, though.
Yep, yes he did.
About fucking time.
Leslie Nielsen. No, wait. Liam Leslieson. No, wait.
Mary Kate Nashley.
Wait, Chris
what?
Christopherson.
Chris Cross.
He'll make you jump.
Did anybody see the Larry the Cable Guy roast?
No, I did not. You know why?
It was quite funny.
Because it was featuring Larry the fucking Cable Guy.
It was actually very funny. Gary Busey was funny. Did we already talk about this?
No.
We and you talked about the IM, Tim.
Oh, okay. And the chick who played Marsha Brady on the TV show The Brady Bunch, she was also very funny. Fucking Gary Busey is fucking crazy.
He looks crazy.
Yep. And he started making fun of himself, which was fucking hilarious.
I'm Gary Busey. That's a fucking shitty impression.
Yep.
We should probably wrap this motherfucker up.
Yep, because I want to get some Taco Bell. I have been fiending Taco Bell since my wife's parents were here.
209 we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have exactly 2.
Me too.
Oh, look at me. I have exactly 2.
But with intro and music and all that stuff, I'm sure it'll be longer. So, farewell, Mean Dog Top 5 Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this long, meandering, shitty salute to you.
I'm at half salute right now.
And welcome, Seen Unseen. You're our new favorite.
Yes, Seen Unseen is now. and they record somewhere near me, so I'm going to go find them.
All right.
And they record regularly.
Give them a
hug.
Oh,
look at them.
Every week, in fact, just about.
Still can't find their Dark Knight issue. What happened? Did you not do Dark Knight? Why not?
And they had guest stars Kevin Smith.
Oh, yes,
Seth
I have
Rogen.
Zach and Miri on my iPod. I haven't listened to that episode yet.
Well, have a good week, everybody. I'm going to go pee.
All right.
I don't really have an agenda, but have a good week.
Go kiss your wife.
She's not here.
Find her where she is and kiss her.
Yep.
Done.
Do that.
All right. Excellent.
And thanks for listening to Tancast Episode 42. A salute to the Mean Dog Top 5 Podcast, the only way we knew how to do it. Shitty. Also, wanted to apologize. I think I may have gotten a little carried away during this section of the show last week, but I do want to thank everybody. We're getting lots of comments at Tancast.com. Thank you for all the new reviews we've got at iTunes. Thank you for all the votes at Podcast Alley. Thank you so much, and we hope to see you again soon.
Tancast. Hang on a sec. I've got pounding on my door.
Knock, knock, knocking on Andy's door. I need to go in. Knock, knock.
Okay. Hey, guys, can we put this on hold?
Sure. For how long?
Minutes.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Akbar's fish sticks from the sea, they cook so tender and flaky. Whip some up for you and me. To pass them up is a big mistakey. Yeah!
Big mistakey?
Have you not seen Robot Chicken Star Wars Episode 2?
Mistakey? I might have.
Are you quoting it, or have you really not seen it?
I don't know. I think I've seen it. I don't recall.
It's the guys from the band in the first Star Wars movie, and they're pitching that song as the jingle to Akbar Fish Sticks. And then Admiral Akbar says after they're finished, "Mistakey," and they get kicked. And then the next scene, "Sorry guys, they said no." I think it works better as an instrumental anyway. And then they cut to them playing at the bar.
So what's going on with your LA thing?
Well,
what are you eating, by the way?
A little lasagna.
All right, you faggot.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing yet. It's still on hold. I mean, I'm still waiting to hear back from Unit A34B4.
And how did they come up with the number that you made $200,000 a year?
I have no idea. I think they just plucked it out of the air.
Like, are they basing on reality at all?
No, I think it's just like their small business number estimation.
Wow.
Like, I think I'm being lumped in with like actual small businesses that actually do shit.
you consider a small business?
Yep.
Interesting. Maybe that's something you have to look into. Like when you, well, but what other towns? Like, I've never really heard of a town specifically doing a tax. You know what I mean? Like, usually you get taxed by the state, but I've never heard of, like, a specific town tax. Like, I don't pay, you know, money, you know, to San Jose when I live there.
Yeah, but then again, like, I've never started a small business before. I don't know if you had to, you know, I don't know if you have to pay something to the town of San Jose.
But what, I mean, you're pretty much doing the same thing you were doing before, or is it because this, like, you were doing the same thing when you were in San Jose.
Yeah, I was, and San Jose never said anything. I still have the same. Oh Jesus! I still have the same expense report on my. That lasagna kicks you back. I still have the same expense report on my taxes at the end of the year, so they would have seen the same thing if they were. I mean, if they go through the same process.
Yeah, so I guess it's something if you ever move back.
I should probably look into beforehand.
Yeah. Hopefully, they don't come back after you.
Did I tell you how depressing it was when I found out how much I actually made last year doing comedy?
No, was it enough to pay rent?
Less than dollars.
Well, that's not depressing, Tim.
You are not the N in Tancast.
Well,
all right, I'm back.
She's not the E in Tancast?
No, the N in Tancast.
Ah. Who's not the N in Tancast?
Nippy.
Ah.
Natasha.
You're right. You're fucking cat. I got it.
I thought you were talking to your wife for a second.
So did I. I was like, all right. No. You gotta lay down the law like that. You are not in fucking Tancast, woman. Now, suck.
You're not the C. It would be the Cant Cast. I guess there's already a C in Tancast.
We were just talking about how rich Tim is.
$200,000 from the...
according to the city of L.A.
No, we're talking about how much he actually made.
Yeah, according to the city of reality, less than... dollars a year.
So shall I explain where I was just for a moment?
If you want.
Since there'll be a little edit here?
Yeah, there'll more than likely be a big edit there. I don't think anyone will hear about me and Noah talking about my financial situation.
All right.
Take cast, poor review.
Tancast poorhouse.
This week on the lifestyles of the poor and infamous.
I'm not even
I don't know why Robin Leach is suddenly Australian.
Crikey!
Badly Australian.
Look at him.
Oh, crikey. Tim's poor.
He's eating his shoelaces for dinner.
Have you guys seen the new preview with Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen?
Funny People?
No.
Yes.
They've been filming it around here and asking for comedians to be extras.
Oh. Uh-huh. What? Isn't it done now?
No. Well, this was a while ago. Sorry.
Gotcha.
So I've known about it.
Judd Apatow's wife is in it. And yeah. she's impersonating like some guy's like Aussie accent. I don't know why, but it cracks me up. You should watch the preview. It's very funny.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
All right. So where was Andy?
So Andy was taking care of a little butt problem. My son has been...
No one wants to hear about your wife's butt problems.
Yeah, no, not my wife's butt problems. I've been working with the wife trying to transition him over to some solid foods. And cereal. Like baby cereal. So semi-solid foods. He's already had problems with getting constipated before, but apparently this just tipped him right over the edge. Because he pooped out something that was so hard earlier today that it pushed his diaper out like there was a little tiny finger poking his diaper out. Like it didn't smush, it didn't squish, it didn't twist or anything. It like came out of his butt like a pylon, like he was ready to support a statuary on top of this poo, apparently.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we decided that we were going to go ahead and give him some prune juice and some water, and apparently we were successful! It's been like 6 hours or so, and the pounding at the door that made me get up and leave was my wife banging at the door going, I don't know what just happened, but I think he may have overflown.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Tancaz big poop review.
Yep.
Tancaz stool softenings. you are a fool if you think that's making it into the show.
That's okay. Tim can, Andy can release his own little copy. It's just his
section. I'll put in the director's cut. With the extra F-bombs back in it.